Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's start with a random topic here. We just got our quick show open here, opening up the program here, taking you statewide with Montana Talks. We got Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson, the best Attorney General in the entire country, in the house with us. Once again, we'll be taking your phone calls and more. He's with us here for the first half of the program, and then we'll open up the phone lines to anything else you want to talk about later on in the show. But, yeah, I was thinking, first off, A.G. Knutson, great to see you as always.
Hey, you too, yeah.
Yeah, good travel day here. We're not into the crazy winter yet.
I will take an open winter. As a former ranch kid, I'm never going to complain about an open winter.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's start with a random topic here. You know, one of the things why we're glad to not have too crazy of a winter yet is because of those because the roads and the travel gets a little crazy. So why don't we start with the DMV? You know, it's funny. I wouldn't say it's funny, but we can talk about the most serious news stories of the day. Fentanyl, the southern border invasion, the drug cartels, the youth gangs, the violence, the crime coming from all the above. But you know what people get the most fired up about? What's going on at the DMV? Why was the line so long at the DMV? That's what people will get fired up about.
Well, and rightly so. I mean, it was a pretty poorly run agency for quite a while, and there's a lot of problems. There's long wait lines. It was difficult to get an appointment. It's frustrating. I mean, you think about the one time that government has to interact with almost everybody is at the motor vehicle division. When you go get a driver's license or an ID, when you go register a vehicle, get a license plate, you got to go into the motor vehicle division, and let's be honest, it's gotten really, really bad in the last several years. I heard about this everywhere I went, and I genuinely couldn't believe it, right? I'm talking about drugs, I'm talking about crime, I'm talking about fentanyl and methamphetamine, and people are going, yeah, but man, the line at MVD was terrible. Can you fix that?
Yeah. Because everybody has to go at
absolutely.
Some point. You know, it's like the crime. I mean, by and large, a lot of people may not feel personally impacted by that. Unfortunately, it's hitting certain communities harder, right? But man, everybody's got
to
go.
You have to
get
go
the
to,
driver stuff figured
you
out.
You have to go to motor vehicle division. So yeah. Right. So we got an office, and I appointed a new person to oversee motor vehicle division because it is under my purview. And man, we found a ton of problems, Aaron. It doesn't get enough attention, but Lori Bockery is the administrator that I brought in to run that division. It's the biggest division under the Department of Justice. A lot of employees, offices all over the state, and Lori has done such an amazing job.
Well, you know, I think, I remember the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because starting with a good news story here, you shared a photo, I think, on Facebook, a week or two ago. There was nobody in line. Was it in Helena at this DMV?
It was at our exam station in Helena. So this is our actual exam station. There was nobody there. There's always a huge line there. There's always people in the waiting room full. It's because of our new computer system. We're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, like, hey, why don't we get a new computer system so we don't have all this chaos? Hey, why don't we boost employee morale? So it sounds like you're doing all the above. So there's a good news story to start with. We'll get to that and much more here right after this with Attorney General Austin Knutson.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got lots of topics to cover here with Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. But I do want to go back to this DMV story and the fact that, whoa, are we really seeing what we're seeing here? Like an empty wait line to get into this DMV? Because it was just like assumed that, oh, no, we're always going to have these problems with these long wait lines. Attorney General Austin Knutson, you talked about getting new computer software. Like, okay, hey, like, we were wasting a lot of these employees' time, and it was causing a lot of headaches just because of computer problems. So get some new computer software. What year is it?
It was stunning, right? So, I mean, imagine trying to run your business or your home budget with a 20-year-old computer and computer system. That's what we've been doing with the motor vehicle division. It was an old computer system called Merlin, which don't even ask me what that stands for, but of course, it was a state acronym. It was a state-built computer system because, you know, that's what bureaucrats do well.
Well, you can't trust the private sector to build something for it. It has to be a government program.
Yeah, we've got
to
have government jobs. And this thing has just been Frankenstein's monster. Any legislator will tell you Merlin has been a disaster for 10-plus years. It was super slow. That was why the lines were so long at MVD, because Merlin was so slow, you couldn't input more than one field at a time, and like your first name, and it would sit and spin and think. And that's why the average transaction time at MVD prior to our new system was a half an hour.
Well, and you were saying how, too, like, and this is one thing Governor Gianforte's done with the state agencies under his purview as governor is, you were telling us how, you know, when you became attorney general, you decided to just, hey, let's just go walk over to the DMV office. They're right down the street from us. You were saying how you walk in and everybody, like, stops and it's like, they're like, what is he doing here?
People could not believe that the attorney general came over to the motor vehicle division. And it is. It's literally a block away from the DOJ building in Helena. We got elected, my chief of staff and I just walked over there. And people were literally dropping their papers in the hallway. And so you start talking to them. There had been 20-year employees worked at MVD that had never met an attorney general before.
Wow.
Never. And I was just shocked by that.
One, and I know, you know, like as a soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan, we'd always have generals or admirals come down, and they'd want to talk to the troops on the front lines and say, hey, guys, tell me what you're seeing. Tell me what you're hearing. Because that can get lost in filters, right? And so they want to get the ground truth. So similar for state leaders, why wouldn't you do the same thing?
Absolutely.
Talk to the troops on the ground.
How do you know what's going on with your frontline workers who are actually interacting with the public day in, day out? If you don't, how do you know what's going on if you don't ever talk to them? Because you're right, you go through a supervisor and then a managing supervisor and then the administrator and then up to the... There were so many layers of bureaucracy that we were actually able to cut through, and we got rid of a lot of those spots. Morale is so much better at Motor Vehicle Division now, and I can't tell you how bad it was.
That's great to hear. And that shows that these state employees... Everybody, we naturally have this desire to do good and to accomplish things. And we're not just going to collect a paycheck.
Right.
I mean, like, you want to do something, but how frustrating it would be to deal with all those problems for all those years. And then to now finally, like, you know, be like, wow, we're getting this job done and we don't have to deal with all these angry customers now because
it would be demoralizing.
We just need some key changes.
It would be demoralizing to have someone come in and you know, they've taken half a day to come into Motor Vehicle Division, and then you're trying to help them, and the computer crashes. And you have to tell them, hey, sorry, the computer's down. Can you come back a different day? That happened all the time, Aaron. Merlin would just crash. The entire state.
Kind of interesting, too, that the former Attorney General Mike McGrath, who is now the Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court, was likely there when a lot of these problems probably first started. And now look at this enormous backlog and look at this mess at our Montana Supreme Court under his leadership. Now, thankfully, he's stepping down next year, and we've got big breaking news that that Corey Swanson, Broadwater County attorney, a Fulbright colonel, Iraq war veteran in the Montana Army National Guard, former deputy attorney.
An incredibly distinguished and experienced county attorney here in Montana.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is going to run for that chief justice seat on the Montana Supreme Court. We just broke the news this morning. So that's good news to see good, distinguished folks like that that would bring some fairness back to the Montana Supreme Court.
Fairness back on the court. And here's the other thing I like about County Attorney Swanson running. He's not 80 years old.
No offense to the 80-year-olds out there, but hey, yeah.
I mean, the other candidate who's out there who's thrown in for the Montana Supreme Court Chief Justice, he's a pretty elderly gentleman. I mean, I don't know him personally, so I won't insult him, but like, that is what it is. He's a former federal magistrate judge, and he's pretty elderly.
I've heard he's very closely connected to this liberal judge Don Malloy as well, if I'm thinking of the right one.
I think you are.
So, and of course, he's just radical left as they come, anti-coal, anti-oil, anti-gas, anti-timber. But he'll probably be pro-TikTok and pro-China when it comes to the TikTok ruling, I'll bet.
I have a suspicion you're right. But no, I mean, Corey Swanson, I mean, like I said, very distinguished county attorney. But like, as you stated, I mean, a veteran, bird colonel in the Montana National Guard. I mean, this is a respected, highly decorated guy with a great resume. Would be just a fantastic Chief Justice.
So, that's right.
Great news.
You know, it's pretty crazy. You've been taking the fight to the Biden administration. We talked about some, you know, in-state Montana issues, but you've been pushing it back against federal overreach. You've now sued the Biden administration, what, over 30 times and won in many of those cases?
34, I think, is our number now. Yeah, no, we've been really aggressive out of my office pushing back on Biden. We have to. They're constantly promulgating crazy rules. They got whacked today just for we found out they're violating the Administrative Procedures Act just to shove through rules. You have to push back. You have to sue them.
All right. Yeah, over 30 lawsuits against the Biden administration and many successful cases. Especially standing up for working folks here in Montana against some of these mandates, vaccine mandates, things like that. More with the Attorney General right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, it's going to be a pretty quick conversation here this morning with Attorney General Austin Knutson. He is heading over here in just a few minutes for the funeral services for the Bighorn County Sheriff, also a Marine Corps veteran who passed away tragically in an accident. And so I know the big law enforcement presence is going to be there to honor the Bighorn County sheriff. And so, yeah, we don't want to hold you up for that. But let's sneak in a phone call. We got a caller on the phone lines here before we jump back into these other topics. Sheila in Laurel, did you have a quick question or comment for the Attorney General?
Yes, I do. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. If you want to see something that's sad, walk into Billings Office of Department of Health and Human Services, I think it is. I have a close friend and neighbor. She has been in that office 4 times. One day they were unable to take any people because of lack of employees. One day she drove all the way from Laurel and they had stopped taking people because they were overworked. She has a picture of being on the phone for 6 hours on hold. And if you go in and talk to those people, they will tell you what an immense struggle it is to do their job. They are grossly understaffed, and it's just a sad situation.
Yeah,
it would be worth your while to stop in and see them.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, obviously DPHHS would be not under the Attorney General's purview, but there might be some law enforcement crossover there involving cases. But I think that calls a reminder of the need to – there's a lot of cobwebs in state government that have racked up over the past couple of decades in particular. So this need to go in and create more – I mean, even we were talking motor vehicles. I mean, I know you're going to be – now that you've, you know, addressed some of these issues at the DMV, now it's going to be like, okay, how do we speed up title work and things like that?
There's definitely lots of work to be done, Sheila. I that's terrible to hear. Like Aaron said, that one's I'm not in charge of DPHHS. That is the single largest agency in the state of Montana. There's a lot of employees there. I don't know what the issues are there. I'll certainly visit with the governor about that and see what we can figure out. But that, I mean, those are stories that just as an elected official, you hate hearing. You know, because we should be about customer service. And as Aaron said, I mean, I think we've got employees that want to do the job. They want to help people. And a lot of times it's old computer systems, it's old hardware. But again, I don't know what the situation there is, but I will certainly kick over some stones.
Well, we mentioned how you've been taking the fight to the Biden administration, and especially when it comes to our southern border and this invasion taking place on our southern border. That's what's fueling crime and drugs and fentanyl and what the Mexican drug cartels are doing here in Montana. We've talked a lot about that, and you've got, unfortunately, some numbers to share on that front. But somebody raised a really good question about drug dogs and how important drug dogs are to law enforcement across the state. Because I understand there's been some recent changes that have impacted the way they can use these drug dogs or something to that effect.
Well, when Montana legalized recreational marijuana, one of the unforeseen consequences of that was you rendered every drug dog in the state illegal, basically, or not illegal, but obsolete, because those dogs had also been trained on marijuana. Well, from an evidentiary and courtroom standpoint, we could no longer use that evidence, because every defense attorney is going to say, oh, well, that dog didn't smell my client's meth. He smelled the marijuana that he had. And so therefore, this has got to get thrown out. And that's legitimate. So we ended up having to replace a lot of drug canines in Montana, because you're right. With all the technology we've got, there is still nothing better at detecting illegal drugs than a dog's nose. But those dogs are expensive.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting. So all these dogs were trained to find marijuana. And typically, when you would find marijuana, sometimes that's how you would lead you also to the meth, because they were common carriers, shall we
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But now, if it was the meth that led you to the suspect, or the marijuana that led you to the suspect, you couldn't bust them on the meth, because you shouldn't be targeting them over marijuana.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Correct.
And it shows the importance of those drugs and those canines. Speaking of meth, you were telling me that the meth numbers are actually down a little bit, but fentanyl is still exploding.
I mean, the fentanyl numbers are just absolutely depressing, because, I mean, last year was a record number for our fentanyl seizures in Montana by law enforcement. And this year is not even done. We've already just smashed last year's record. By almost double. So we're still being absolutely flooded with fentanyl coming from the Mexican cartels. But pretty amazingly, meth seizures are down. And this is the first year we've actually seen that. I think it's a combination of things. It's probably law enforcement. We're doing a really good job of getting after that. But I think it also shows the trends that the cartels are pushing. They're pushing fentanyl hard. And it was pretty staggering to see. I mean, meth has been king in Montana for 15, 20 years. And now to see our seizure numbers not just drop, but drop pretty significantly this year, pretty interesting and encouraging stuff.
I know you've got to run here in about a minute. I want to ask you, too, there was a California lawyer, a liberal California lawyer, that filed a complaint against you as the attorney general. And it seems pretty obvious what's happening here. This is a liberal lawyer from California and other left-wing activists. They're trying to block you from even being on the ballot to prevent Montanans from being able to vote for you in the 2024 elections for your reelection campaign. It's interesting how, you know, efforts to keep Trump off the ballot are even being rejected by liberal judges in other states, because they just it's such a flagrant violation of our system, of our republic, of what should be a democratic republic. Right. But yet here they're trying to push, some similar absurd complaint against you.
Well, so here's the deal. In Montana, like a lot of states, we have ethics rules for lawyers. And when a lawyer violates those ethics rules, you get reported to the state bar and to the state commission on practice. I got a 41-count complaint lodged against me for speaking meanly about the Montana Supreme Court. Well, I didn't realize I gave up my First Amendment rights when I became a lawyer, first of all. But secondly, those ethics rules are for lawyers who steal from their clients, take money from their clients, take advantage of their clients, who have an inappropriate sexual or romantic relationship with their clients. That's barred by the rules. That's the kind of stuff that lawyers get ethics complaints thrown at them and actually get sanctioned for. I said some critical things of the Montana Supreme Court that are not false. I mean,
you criticized their rulings, and you actually were well representing your clients, which is we, the people of Montana.
I was working
the elected
lawmakers. I was working for the legislature, zealously defending my client in an unprecedented fight against the Montana judiciary, where they quashed their own subpoenas and refused to recuse themselves. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy stuff. You can't make it up.
Well, I know you got to run. You're headed over to help your fellow folks in law enforcement honor the late Sheriff King, the Bighorn County Sheriff, who also is a Marine Corps veteran. And so we don't want to hold you up. Attorney General Austin Knutson, thanks for dropping in. Good to see you.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
All right. Phone lines are open for you. And, hey, anything we've been chatting with the Attorney General, or, he'll be listening as he drives over to Lockwood High School right now as well. well. So feel free to keep your phone lines coming. We've got the phone lines open for the remainder of the hour. Speaking of this complaint against the attorney general pushed by this California lawyer, I think that's where Lucas in Kalispell wants to go next on the phone lines. Lucas, thanks for the call. And, yeah, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just wanted to call in about the complaint that's been lodged against the attorney general. I stand 100% with Austin Knutson against these bogus claims, which are really only appearing because what you have, you know, like you guys were talking about, is these judges, they are so far left that when you criticize them, you know, they're corrupt as well. Then now they're trying to get you off the ballot. They're trying to get the attorney general off the ballot, similar to what's happening to Trump. And, you know, it is ridiculous that this is being potentially taking place in our state. What we need to do as the legislature, that's part of why I'm running for state house. I want to go against this completely out of control judicial system and bring back true checks and balances, because you have these guys where if they just personally disagree with the law, not even it being mentioned in the Constitution, which many of the times the Constitution directly contradicts their rulings. But they just, you know, they strike down everything they just personally disagree with. It's ridiculous. We got to do stuff about it. We got to get judicial transparency. We got to defund these guys, everything, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's right. And Lucas Schubert recognized the voice there running for the state legislature. No, you're exactly right. And that's why, you know, later on I'll share you know, more news about this new candidate for Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. But basically, yeah, we've got a radical left-wing mob running the Montana Supreme Court right now. And look at what they did earlier this week. They basically ruled against a coal mine permit for the Rosebud coal mine. They're so far left-wing, and it's impacting jobs, and it's going to impact school revenue when you start, you know, saying no to these coal mining operations here as well. But thankfully, two seats are coming up next year, and it looks like some good candidates are stepping up to run, including Corey Swanson, the Broadwater County Attorney.
Yeah, we got to get good people on the court. Last year, sadly, James Brown lost. But that's because, you know, there was hundreds of thousands of dollars out-of-state left-wing organizations funding his opponent. And on the ballot, what doesn't help is that it's nonpartisan. I've talked to people who they meant to vote for James Brown, but because Gustafson has so much money, she got her name out there so much, they accidentally voted for her. Since on the ballot, it doesn't tell you who's the conservative, who's a liberal.
Well, and so she pretended in her ads to be a conservative, and the fake news media covered for her the entire time. That was some of the most biased press coverage I've ever seen, was the way that so many in the Lee newspapers, Capital Bureau, and even unfortunately some of the TV reporters covered that judicial race last year. It was just incredibly biased coverage. It was pathetic, frankly. Hey, Lucas Schubert, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Marilyn in Lolo, you'll be up next. Sorry for the wait. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
As the 68th Montana Grain Growers Convention gets underway in Great Falls, farmers are eager to see a farm bill pass. Obviously not here in 2023, but in 2024. Jake Westland is Vice President of Policy for the National Association of Wheat Growers. He shares more on the policies and priorities they would like to see in the upcoming farm bill.
And we advocate for a handful of things. Full funding for the U.S. Wheat Belly Scab Initiative, $15 million, and that's been fully funded for a number of years now. One thing that is new that we've been advocating for a couple of years now is what we're calling the Wheat Resiliency Initiative. And we were asking for $1.6 million this year, and that would cover a few things. One of those being wheat stem softfly, which I know is a huge issue in Montana. We were glad to see the committee passed versions that came out of the House and Senate Appropriations Committees back in the summer months. That included $1 million that is new funding for the Wheat Resiliency Initiative, which would cover and help support additional resources for wheat stem softfly. While we're still waiting to get a full fiscal year 2024 appropriations bill signed into law, that is in both the House and the Senate version is a good sign.
The Montana Grain Growers Convention will run through Thursday in Great Falls at Montana Expo Park. Registration is still open, and folks are encouraged to drive to Great Falls and attend. I'm Lee Nordblond.
Where is...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We were talking earlier with Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson and talking about how they've been cleaning up the lines at the motor vehicles departments across the state and new technology, things like that. And then we had a caller call in and say, man, we've had people call DPHHS. They get stuck on the phone lines for hours. What the heck's going on? We got Marilyn in Lolo on the phone lines now. Marilyn, have you been struggling with the VA phone lines as well? Am I tracking?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and I hope to talk about the judges, too, after the VA thing. But,
yeah, go for it.
So I'm trying to help a 90-year-old veteran go through the VA system for certain different things, medical, et cetera. And I'll tell you what, that VA phone, that menu system, it is a nightmare. And I know I can be kind of tough love and harsh sometimes, but when I finally got through one day, I said, my gosh, it's no wonder these veterans are committing suicide. If this is what they got to go through and I'm not even that old and, you know, I still have all my legs and stuff, and I can't even imagine what something's got to change with that. And I have mentioned it to a lot of different people, and they've agreed with me. Something has got to be done with that VA phone system.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, so, like, if I were to call, say, the local clinic, like in Billings, for example, it was really bad for a while, but then they got good about getting people to man the phones, and then boom, you got at least somebody that would answer the phone and get you where you needed to go. But then, like, if you had to call one of the offices, one of the specialists in Helena, yeah, you get the do-do-do-do-do for hours, and it's like, okay, and then they call you back. Well, you're in the middle of a radio show, so you can't answer your phone or whatever work you're doing, right? The one thing I have found, I don't know if this would work for the veteran that you're helping. I mean, I don't know if you could do it on his behalf somehow or not, but the website MyHealthEVet with an E, you can chat, you can message back and forth. That seemed to be much more responsive and much more helpful when I had to use that on a particular occasion, because, yeah, you're right. You try to get through on the phone lines and, you know, you play phone tag if you can even get through.
Well, and as not, you know, I'm not a relative, and so they go with me with the HIPAA stuff, and so I've got to be in his presence so he can get, I mean, it's just a nightmare, and he's, like I said, he's 90, and he can barely see, and he can't do any of that himself. He doesn't know how to use his phone, and
sure,
it's terrible.
I wonder if you could become, I'm just thinking out loud here, and one of our listeners might be able to clarify, but I wonder if you could become an official caregiver to where you know you could help him more in an official capacity to overcome some of those barriers. That's just a thought. I'm just thinking out loud here.
What kind of bureaucracy would I have to go through to make that happen?
Good question. Yeah. Good question.
Me I should get, like, medical power of attorney, and so I got to figure out how to do that. But I'm not. So to the judge's thing. So as a pro-lifer back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, et cetera, these judges, these leftist judges, I mean, they persecuted pro-lifers back then and our lawyers. The leftist judges would never recuse themselves, and yet the pro-life judges always did recuse themselves, and so obviously we were in trouble from the get-go. And our lawyers were given lists of words by the leftist judges, like you couldn't say the word baby or, you know, murder in the Ten Commandments or the Bible or anything like that. And if our judge, I mean, if our lawyer would do that, they would charge him with contempt of court and make him leave the courtroom and sometimes send him to jail. And
yeah. This has been going on
with leftist corrupt judges for a long time, and finally it's making some news, you know, and we just really got to wake up and get to know who these people are and vote right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Corey Swanson, who just announced, we broke the news on our Montana Talks website earlier this morning. I'm going to play some audio here in a few minutes. But Corey Swanson, you know, he's a guy who I believe would restore fairness and justice if elected to the Montana Supreme Court. He's a Broadwater County attorney. He prosecuted the Barris case down there, high-profile case. Iraq veteran, multiple deployments, full-bird colonel in the Army National Guard right now. Distinguished guy, deputy attorney general, vice president of the Montana County Attorneys Association. I think he's somebody who would restore that fairness. Because yeah, you're right. I mean, I think one of the judges in Helena that ruled on these on one of these abortion cases, he had 100% Planned Parenthood voting record when he served in the legislature, but now he's a judge and he thinks he's still a legislator. It's crazy. Marilyn, thanks for the phone call. Next, let's go to Bill in Helena. Bill, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to remind everybody about what Judge McGrath did when back with the owner of Gasomat. He went after him for selling gas for a penny cheaper than everybody else, and he ran the guy basically out of business. And then what he did with the deregulation of electricity, he ruled that Montana Power wasn't a monopoly. And that's what made every Montana pay a lot more money for electricity.
Interesting, yeah. And, of course, Mike McGrath, former Democrat Attorney General, he is now stepping down as Chief Justice. And so that's what opens up that spot on the Montana Supreme Court for 2024. All right. Well, Bill, thanks for calling in.
One more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
What they did to Mrs. Juris when she was running, they slandered her for being a Christian.
Yeah, remind us of that story. What was the specific attack there? I don't recall that one.
They said that she couldn't do her job as a judge because she had Christian values.
Oh, brother. Oh, man, it's crazy. Yeah, we're a country that is built upon, we have a legal system that is built on Judeo-Christian ethics. And no wonder the rule of law seems to be slipping away in this country, right? And then the other guy that's stepping down is Set 'Em Free Sandifer, who earned that nickname by setting too many criminals free, going too easy on the criminals. All right, Bill, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. Next up, we've got Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Vida on the phone lines right now. Jerry, thanks for calling back in. Yeah, we caught up with you earlier this week with an update on that proposed homeless shelter in Lewistown. But we were a little short on time. We were packing a bunch of other things in, so we didn't get time to talk about another big story, which is the Montana Freedom Caucus members have a call out for a special session of the legislature to try to deliver more property tax relief in particular. Anyway, Jerry, thanks for calling back in.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Thank you. And when we visited a couple of days ago, you commented about when I call in sometimes from the tractor or a sprayer, et cetera. Well, actually, today I'm sitting at mile marker 30 on Highway 13. I had to pull the semi over in the downtown Vida here. I'm heading to Macon with a load of high-quality and nutritious Montana spring wheat to take to market. So,
hey, there you go.
Kind of working different things in today. But, yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. And big news is the Montana Freedom Caucus has sent a petition to the Secretary of State, Christy Jacobson. And I think there were 21, I believe, was the number of us that signed it. So she is going to begin preparing ballots, letters to send out to legislators here, I think, in the next couple of days. So next week, legislators should start getting letters from Secretary of State and ballots on whether to vote yes or no for this special session. And I think you mentioned earlier in your program, like in the 6 o'clock hour or 7 o'clock hour, I heard you mention the four issues and the four things that we'd like to address in the session that we think we can address that wouldn't require days of hearings and deliberation and things like that are these. We're going to change the 95 mil cap to 85 mil, so there would be a maximum of 85 mil that the state could levy on property taxes. Secondly, that wouldn't mean that it couldn't be adjusted lower, I would say, but that would be the maximum. Secondly, then, we intend to go in and clean up the statutory language that would clear up and make certain that the executive does have the authority to adjust those mills up or down depending on what appraisals have come in. So this year, then, without a doubt, the executive could have rolled that 95 mills back to the suggested, I believe it was 77 mills, and we wouldn't have had all this hullabaloo with the counties.
Well, and then also there's a big surplus still, what, at least $230 million, right? So even after all of the tax relief delivered last legislative session and the session before, the surplus revenue keeps coming in, right?
Well, that's right. And since we adjourned in May, the final numbers that came in for the 21 to 23 biennium is about an additional $230 million of over collection of taxes. So that was going to be my number three or four that I was going to mention, that we're going to address that to send that rebate back plus.
Okay, well, hold point 3-4. Quick break. We'll come back.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I checked in. We also had Mark in Butte, or on the road to Butte, on the phone lines as well. And he was kind of echoing some of the concerns that Marilyn and Lolo had there about the VA phone system. He said, yeah, you know, you try to call the Butte VA and they give you the phone number in Missoula, and then you call Missoula and they end up messaging and chatting back and forth with the people in Butte, but you can't talk directly to the people in Butte. And so he just said it's pretty chaotic. So he was kind of echoing some of the frustrations with the VA phones that Marilyn and Lolo brought up. So, Mark in Butte, thanks for listening to KXTL. Thanks for calling. Good to chat with you during the break there as well. All right, Jerry Schillinger, I know we're getting a little short on time because I want to play audio of part of my chat with Corey Swanson, talking about his run for Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. But, for points 3 and 4 of what the Freedom Caucus is calling for with this call for a special session, bottom line is you want to give even more of this surplus back to we the people. We're the ones who are being overcharged in the first place, right?
Absolutely, Aaron. And really, the long and short of it is we want to provide long-term tax relief with the capping the 95 mills down to 85 instead of 95. Allowing the executive to float those mills when they should be floated lower, rebating that $230 million, and putting an initiative on the ballot that taxpayers can say, we want any over budget amount of tax collections in a biennium to be automatically rebated to taxpayers. So we don't have to have special sessions. We don't have to have special legislation every time and battle over these refunds. When we over collect, over budget, then they will automatically go back. So that's the long and short of it. And I would just like to say that you've mentioned a number of times on your show, and it's been in statewide papers, how the Democrats have called for special sessions, et cetera, et cetera. They've never actually tried to put forward a special session. They want tax relief until now. We're calling for it. I understand they're all going to vote against the special session. So
yeah, isn't that funny?
Time for them to put up or shut up.
Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. We want a special session. We want a special session. We support property tax relief. Well, you voted against it the last time. Now they have an opportunity to call a special session. All of a sudden, no, we don't want a special session. Great point, Representative Jerry Schillinger. Great to hear from you. As always, safe travels as you deliver the grain this morning as well. Thanks for pulling over and calling in. Great information. Great to hear from you. Corey Swanson is the Broadwater County Attorney. He's also a former Deputy Attorney General and an Iraq War veteran. We broke the big news. He is running for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court 2024.
I've worked in the law for a number of years now. I graduated from law school about 20 years ago. And we just, one thing that is essential to the law working well is a court system that is functional, that we can trust, and judges that make good decisions. And I feel like I finally decided, you know, I've done, like you mentioned, I've been around the world a few times with the military, and I've got some experience, good and bad, right, that we've all have some lumps. But I want to put that experience to use. So I'm announcing today I'm going to run for the Chief Justice position for the Montana Supreme Court.
Well, I'll tell you, that's incredible news. We very clearly just need good candidates to run for these Supreme Court seats. Two seats up next year, including the Chief Justice slot. And you're somebody who really fits a great bill all around. I mean, I mentioned not only are you the Broadwater County attorney, an experienced prosecutor who has had time, you know, has prosecuted, unfortunately, some high-profile cases, unfortunately, that you've had in front of you there in Broadwater County. Iraq War veteran, you were with the 163rd on multiple deployments. I think you were the battalion commander on their last deployment. And so, but then on top of that, you've worked in the Montana Department of Justice as well. So what I think is interesting is you're a guy who could have multiple opportunities, right? You could be a future attorney general down the road, candidate for a position like that. You could be the adjutant general of the Montana National Guard someday, potentially, too. But so why Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court? Why is this something that's so important to you?
Well, as you mentioned, Aaron, there's two positions open on the court right now. So Chief Justice McGrath is retiring, and then Justice Sandifer is retiring as well. And so there are two candidates in the associate justice position that are running right now. There is one candidate for Chief Justice. His name is Jeremiah Lynch. He's a retired federal magistrate. I don't know him well. I appeared before him once. But I just felt that when I looked at this race, that now is the time when we need a change on the court. And now is the time when we have an opportunity to actually bring that change. So I do bring a very different perspective. I've been in the trenches of the Montana courts for a while now. Done a lot of trials, a lot of criminal cases, done for Supreme Court cases. And then having worked for Tim Fox in the Department of Justice, really learned a lot about how the law functions at the state level and really the importance of having a court that can handle such a huge variety of cases.
All right. Yeah. So like I say, that was part of our conversation with Corey Swanson, Broadwater County attorney, who is now filing to run for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. And I've heard there's another good candidate that's stepping up to run for Set 'Em Free Sandifer's spot as well. So some positive developments. I fully believe that these judicial races are so critical, and they so often get overlooked. Everybody gets all fired up and excited about the presidential campaigns and the governor races and Congress and senator. But yet look at this judicial activism that is taking place with this liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court and all the hard work that gets thrown in the trash can because of these biased judges that want to put the crooks right back out on the streets time and time again.